Our scripture reading this morning is the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. As we continue our series in trusting God and the sovereignty of God, last week we were looking at how we're set aside for a holy purpose, and that we, in this holy purpose, we are to become holy, sanctification. Today, I'd like for us to consider the process of sanctification. The sermon topic is remodeling the heart of a believer. How many of you watch the HGTV programs where somebody buys these houses that are in really bad shape? And they go in and they rip everything out. And then they remodel it. They rebuild it. And it's a beautiful house. They make that look so easy. That's why I remodeled the bathroom. It took me 6 months to do what they do in 30 minutes. They have teams. You're looking at the team. But to remodel is very important for a believer. God has chosen us before the foundation of the world to be separate from the world. He has shown His love and His grace and His mercy to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's purchased us with the blood of His own Son. And now He's set us aside for a holy purpose. And part of that being set aside for a holy purpose is for each of God's children to be holy because He is holy. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to cause us to become more and more holy every day. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Because God works in us day in and day out. And the day will come when we will die, and God will bring us home to Himself. And when we enter heaven, we will be perfect, without sin. Think about that. But in the meantime, we should never forget that those of us who are believers, we are sinners saved by grace. Sometimes we forget the sinner part. And sometimes we live more of a sinner than we do in the grace. So let's look this morning at John chapter 14, verses 15 through 27, on how God conforms us to the image of Christ, how He builds the image of Christ into each of His children. So before we study, let's pray. Father in heaven, we just continue to honor You in our hearts in this time of worship. And now we come to the study of Your Word. How I pray that You'll keep our minds focused on You and Your Word, that You would instruct us from Your Word by Your Holy Spirit. Father, show us the areas in our hearts and our attitudes and our minds and the way we think and what we think about that are not acceptable to You. That we would repent of the sin and ask for forgiveness, and You will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father, move in our hearts by Your Spirit today, that we would be encouraged in our relationship with You. And Lord, if anyone here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, oh, how I pray that they would come to know Him personally, confessing and repenting of sin and asking for forgiveness where You will forgive. And they will experience Your love and grace and mercy in their own hearts. So bless us in this time of worship. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, John 14, 15 through 27. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world? And Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Amen. You may be seated. John begins this section of teaching. He's in the upper room with the disciples before his going out to Gethsemane, where he's arrested. And it's interesting, in verse 15, he begins this with, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And this is so important for us today as we think about how God works in us, which we'll see as we go through this time of teaching. It is our responsibility as children of God to keep his commandments. Now, the verb to keep there has two meanings. First of all, it means to obey, to know the word of God and to obey it. The other is to preserve it, is to preserve it. There are those who do not believe the scriptures to be the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God, and they try to tear it down and discard it. But we don't do that. We stand for it and we live by it. And because of the love of God that has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and because we understand the sacrifice that Jesus has made on our behalf, giving his life that we may have life, we love, and one way we show that love is by keeping his commands. Now, let's go to the next verse and see what Jesus says in 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you, even the Spirit of truth. I will ask the Father, and he will give you. Look at that verb. It's not, he may not. No, he will give you another helper. Now, the word another cannot be overlooked. That's very important. Because when Jesus said another helper, what he was saying is one just like me. One just like me. Helper. Helper means to call someone to one side to assist them. I was changing a tire 3 weeks ago, I believe, in our neighborhood. And man, it was hot that afternoon, and I was changing that tire. I was praying, Lord, help me get this thing done. So I was taking the flat off, and I was getting ready to put the new one on. And this car pulls up and stops. And I hear this voice say, hey, Richard, you need any help? I said, about 10 minutes ago, it would have been nice if you know. And I looked up, and this lady that lives down the street from us that we kind of keep her dog. Well, Mary Eleanor keeps her dog and looks over when they're out of town. They do for us. And this lady was willing. She said, I don't mind helping you. And I said, I really appreciate that. I'm just about through. And I was pretty close to being through. And then I kept on going. She went on, and then this huge pickup truck pulls up and stops.
Hey, buddy, you need some help?
I really appreciate this. But no, I'm close to being finished. And I was, but it meant so much to me that people cared enough to help. And actually, in this day, actually stopped and offered. God loves you and me so much that when the Lord Jesus Christ's time had been fulfilled, He had died for our sins, was buried, was raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. God loves us so much, He did not want to leave us without help. Without being at our side and being in us and watching over us, that He sent Himself into our hearts by His Holy Spirit to live with us. Boy, what love the Father has shown to us, that He would send His Spirit to be with us and in us. And let's go on and look at this. It says, to be with you forever. How long is forever? It's beyond this world. The Spirit of God will never leave us. And so He's with us all the time. We're never alone. God is indeed with us all the time. Now look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, look, notice the first thing He says about the Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive. Now, let's stop there. Whom the world cannot receive. The verb there in the Greek means it's not able to receive. The world is not able to receive. The non-believer is not able to receive the Holy Spirit of God. And then He goes on to say, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. The word to see there means spiritual perception. The non-believer is spiritually dead. And they do not have the ability to perceive spiritual truth and understand God and who He is and how He's working. And they don't understand us also because they're spiritually dead. So, they don't see Him, nor do they know Him. And the verb know there is gnosko. It means to know by personal experience. They don't have Jesus as their Savior. So they don't know Him. Now, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 14. As Paul is discussing with the believers at Corinth, spiritual conditions of people. And look at verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. There has to be spiritual life. Otherwise, you can't understand God. How many times before you and I became believers, we said in worship services just like this? And if you were here, Brother Jimmy was here very faithfully, teaching the Word of God. And just sitting there like a bump on a log. I didn't know what he was talking about. I knew about God, about Jesus, about the Holy Spirit. I intellectually understood that, but spiritually, I was dead as I could be. And all those Sunday school lessons and all those sermons, and then I became a believer in Jesus Christ, trusting in Him alone for salvation. And all of a sudden, that started making sense. This is a good deal I got here. And so the non-believer can't understand any of that. It's really sad. It's really sad they're in that state of mind. So they're not able to understand. Now, let's go back to John 14. In the latter part of verse 17, it says, you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. You know Him. That phrase right there is very strong. It's a very strong phrase. You know Him. You know Him. You know Him personally because of your personal experience with Him. He will be in you. He will be inside you. And notice again, He will be. That's a statement of truth. He will be in you. Look at Philippians 3:12. The Holy Spirit is in us. What does this mean for you and me today that the Holy Spirit lives within us? In Philippians 3:12, Paul, in giving his personal testimony here, he says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own." Christ Jesus has made each of us in Christ His own. And it says He has, literally it means He has taken hold of me. Have you and I taken hold of Christ? Have we taken hold of Christ? When God the Father through the Son and the Holy Spirit living in us, when the Holy Spirit is working in you and in me, building us up in our faith, showing us how we're obedient and how we're walking, and then when the Holy Spirit shows us sin, do we fight Him? "Oh, I'm not that bad. My sin's not. I can handle this sin. I'm all right. Leave me alone, God. I got this." No. No. Just as the Father has taken hold of us through Christ and by His Spirit, we need to take hold of Him. We need to hug Him. Do you hug the Lord every day? Or are we saying, "Leave me alone. I'm good. I'm fine." As the Holy Spirit works in us, we should see more and more every day just how much we need Christ. We need the Spirit of God in our lives. We have salvation. I'm not talking salvation. I'm talking sanctification. Knowing the Lord deeper, with a stronger relationship, trusting Him more for everything in my life. People laugh at me because when I go to the hospital, I pray for parking places. Hey, I need a parking place. And guess what? The Lord provides for me. Sometimes He works in me to trust Him because I'll have to circle the deck a couple of times. And I have to say, "Okay, Lord, You got one here. Would you mind just getting me in there? Calm down, Richard. I got this in control." And you know, He provides the parking place. I get into the room with that brother or sister right when the Lord wants me there, not when I want to be there. It's trusting in God for everything in our lives. And that's what becoming holy means. I trust less in self, less in my own ability, less in my intellectual ability, and more in Christ. And when I trust more and more in Christ, my relationship is stronger. I'm closer to Him, and then I'm apt to trust Him more and more with the next issue I come upon. It's a growing, maturing process that we should love Him because of what He is doing, what He has done, and what He is doing in our lives. And so we see here that He will be inside you. He's with us all the time. Now, let's go over to verse 26 in John 14. Jesus says in 25, these things I've spoken to you while I am still with you. But something's going to change here. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Notice how Jesus continuously reminds the apostles. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. He is going to do that. And these men, and what Jesus has told them in the upper room, how he's going to be betrayed, he's going to be arrested. Jesus knows the frailty of the mind of all of us. We're weak. And we have a tendency to withdraw from Christ and trust in self. And he says, he's going to do it. Trust me. Trust me. My Father will send the Holy Spirit in my name. And then look what Jesus tells them. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. He will teach you all things. You've heard me say this many times. I am not your teacher. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. The Holy Spirit knows you personally. The Holy Spirit knows our fears, our anxieties, our worries, our concerns. He searches our hearts and He knows us better than we know ourselves. And He will teach you. And notice Jesus said He will teach you all things. And He does. Whenever you're sitting under the teaching of Scripture, be it in here or Sunday school, in your personal Bible study and reading, and you get it. You get it. Do you realize at that point the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has just enabled you to understand and to give you... Man, that would cause Presbyterians to shout. Sometimes. It's a good thing y'all don't sit outside my study. You'd think I'd gone charismatic in there sometimes. It is awesome when the Lord reveals truth to us. And especially the truth when we need it and it applies at that moment to our lives. Or sometimes I'm studying like on Monday and Tuesday and, oh my goodness, the Lord is just pouring it on me. And I'm thinking, I'll stop and I'll say, uh-oh. I'm getting so much today, I wonder what's coming at the end of the week. Don't worry, I got you covered. It is awesome to see that truth and then to live it out. The Holy Spirit will teach you. And then look at the next one. We can all relate to this, who are above 40, and help you to remember what I have said to you. Help you remember what I said to you. What had Jesus taught them? It's what we have in the Gospels. The Word of God. He's not going to help you to remember philosophy. It's the Word of God that He's going to help us to remember. And how many times have you and I been in circumstances and situations? We've been asked questions and we're standing there or sitting there And you're thinking, oh me, what am I going to do? How am I going to answer this? And a scripture passage comes to mind. Or something to say to someone based on scripture. That's the Holy Spirit helping each of us to remember. That is awesome to experience that. And I hope and pray each of you have. So the Spirit of God helps us to remember. So when we're faced with circumstances and situations and the Holy Spirit says, don't go there. I don't want you thinking that. I don't want you desiring that. What are you doing? That's the Spirit of God causing us to be holy in that area of our lives at that moment. And we need to obey what the Lord is leading us to do by His Spirit based on His Word. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And when the Spirit of God brings something to our minds and our hearts, if we love the Lord and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt it's the Holy Spirit saying, this is what you need to think, this is what you need to desire, this is the attitude you need to get rid of, and this is the attitude you need to have, if we love Him, we'll do it. That's being remodeled. He will bring to your remembrance. Now, turn over to John 16. Turn over to John 16 and verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. Guiding, showing the way. And the word guide not only means to just guide, but will also give you instructions. And so we have the Spirit of God in us to guide and direct us in ways that He wants us to go and relationships He wants us to have, in the attitudes He wants us to have. And then as we go and walk in that way, He instructs us in that way. Because He's always with us. And let's look at the rest of this verse 16 here. At verse 13 in chapter 16. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. Who is He listening to? You remember how many times Jesus said, I've come to do My Father's will. What I say to you is from My Father. And so what the Spirit, what the Holy Spirit does, is He's instructing us as the Father tells him how to instruct this particular child. We're all different. You know, children, when you look at the children in your family, and all the children are different. They have different ways of thinking, different ways of doing things, different gifts and abilities. We have to understand that child and what is best for that child. And we might deal with this child one way over here, and we might deal differently with this child over here. Same family. So it is with the Lord. He knows you and me thoroughly and completely. And He has a way of dealing with each one of us based on His knowledge of us and what we need. It's personal. And it's real. And so He works in us to guide us into all truth. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And this time we're going to read verses 10 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start in verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. To what God is doing in us, how He reveals Himself to us, how He provides for us. He reveals all that to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So now we have the Spirit of God, God the Spirit in us, who knows the plan that God has for you personally. And that's why He's instructing us in the way He does, because He knows the plan that God has for each of us. And so He equips us to be obedient and walk in that plan. Look at verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. You don't understand what's going on in your life? Ask the one who's in charge, the Lord. And He may or may not answer you. I don't know what He's going to do. But we have that privilege of saying, Lord, help me here. Just give me a little understanding. I'm not getting it. And then wait for the answer. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. You and I have the ability to understand Scripture because the Spirit of God lives in us, teaches us, instructs us, guides us, and you and I can understand. You know, you hear people say, I can't understand the Bible. There are parts I don't understand. Well, we're finite. We're not supposed to understand every jot and tittle. However, it's what I do understand that scares the living daylights out of me, because God will hold me responsible for that. Oh, I'm sorry, God. I really didn't grab that. Yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, I did. But look at it, another truth. We understand it. The Spirit of God helps us to understand it. And then the Spirit of God helps us to obey it. God's not some authoritative, dictatorial ruler. Do this and do it now. And good luck, because I'm not going to tell you anymore. And I'm not going to help you. No, He's there in us to help us, to show His love to us, and walk with us every step of the way. That's the Holy Spirit working in us. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. I want us to see how this worked out in Samuel's life. 1 Samuel chapter 3. You recall that Samuel's mother prayed for a son, and if God granted her that son, she would turn him over to God to serve Him. And God gave her a son, and she fulfilled that vow she made to God and turned Samuel over to Eli. Now, you better be careful who you turn your kids over to. Eli's sons were jerks. They were very ungodly. But a vow was made by Hannah, and she fulfilled that vow. Now, let's look at Samuel. Now, Samuel was taken to Eli about the age of 5, and he was raised in the tabernacle by Eli, training him how to serve the Lord. And in chapter 3, this account picks up. Now the boy Samuel, this is verse 1. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. I got to clarify this. That doesn't mean Samuel was sleeping by the tent, by the ark of the covenant, okay? There was a tabernacle. Right next to the tabernacle was a tent, which was the tent where Eli and Samuel lived. And they just considered it a part of the tent. So don't think that Eli and Samuel were sleeping at the head and the foot of the Ark of the Covenant. No, that would have never worked. Just to clarify that. But they were sleeping right next door in a tent for their own living space. Verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. I mean, this kid was raised in the temple, the tabernacle. But the Lord had not yet revealed his word to Samuel. And that's why Samuel didn't get it. And he kept going to Eli. In other words, he wasn't a believer. Let's pick it up. Verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he called you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Samuel became a believer. Eli told him, "Here's how you respond to the Lord. Speak, for your servant hears." When you and I, as you and I are being remodeled by the Holy Spirit in our hearts, this should be our response when the Lord moves by His Spirit in us. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Our hearts and our ears should be so attentive to the voice of God, to the impression of the Spirit of God upon our hearts, that when the Holy Spirit leads and speaks and directs, we say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." Mary's response when the angel appeared to her about her going to conceive, and the conversation there, and the conversation ends by Mary saying, "I am the handmaid of the servant. Do unto me according to your word." No greater attitude than any of us could have than to be that obedient to God. To say, "I am your servant. Do unto me according to your word," and mean it. And then follow through with it. Brothers and sisters, we're all being remodeled. Everybody that is a child of God, trusting Christ alone for salvation, every one of us are being remodeled. And every day, there's a little progress being made. The question is, comes out of Philippians. Paul said, "God has laid hold of me, and I have laid hold of him." Are we laying hold of God? Or are we fighting him? And then it comes out of 1 Samuel. Do you and I say to the Lord, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears"? And here's the challenge for every one of us. Listen for what He's going to say. Which means we have to be still in this society that is run, 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 run. Go, 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 go. And we have to stop. When we say, "Speak, Lord, for Your servant hears," we have to stop and listen. And you and I have the spiritual ability to understand because we're believers in Christ. So I would encourage all of us. We're in the remodeling stage. Every believer is being remodeled. How far along are we? I don't know. One thing this, when the Lord calls you home, your remodeling is over. And you won't know it until you're standing face to face with the Lord. But the remodeling continues. And we need to just see how we're being remodeled. But if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're spiritually dead. You're without hope. You have to have Jesus as Savior. Believe He's the Son of God. Believe He died for your sin. Confess your sin and ask for forgiveness, and you will be forgiven. That's all you have to do. So if anyone here doesn't know Christ as Savior, come at the close of this worship time. I'd love to talk to you and show you how you can become a believer. And brothers and sisters, speak, Lord, for Your servant hears. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, how we praise You and thank You for the life You've given us in Christ. Thank You for Your word that You've given to us today from Your Holy Scripture and what You've instructed us by Your Holy Spirit. For You have indeed spoken to the heart of everyone in here. For the child of God, what we need to really consider as You conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. For those without Christ, You must come to Christ as Savior. So, Father, move by Your Spirit in our hearts that we would respond to You in a positive way. For this I ask in Jesus' name.